Okay, I think you can hear me. You guys hear me okay? Okay, I am Kathy Miller. I'm the Executive Director of Instructional Services and Secondary Options at Shiawassee RESD. And I've been around for a while. I'm actually here to talk about the PA 146 legislation. And part of that legislation is really, the legislation came through, and I'm going to go over some of what it's about. But this presentation is really a culmination of a number of different groups that came together. So I am part of a statewide group that includes early childhood, special education, general education. We have English language learner experts on it. So it's a combination of people that have come together to try to provide some support. What I'd like to do to get us started is, it's a small room, and I appreciate you guys staying for staying it through. I'd like to know who is in the room. So if you could introduce yourself and your district, kind of what level you work at, and then if you have any specific question that you are thinking. I can't guarantee that I can answer all the questions because things are still being determined, but it might help if I know kind of what you are hoping to accomplish by coming today. So would you mind starting?
Finalized, so it's making me very anxious.
Okay.
The next one is farms and public schools. I think I'm more concerned about knowing how it's going to look in our secondary. We have some things already in place in our elementary, and we'll pivot to whatever assessments, you know, that we don't have right now. But secondary is just overwhelming as to how do I get my teachers ready? What am I going to do? How do we spread the time and the schedule? Which is a lot.
Great.
I'm the assistant principal at Milan High School, and I am also interested to see what is this going to look like for 9 through 12, and what is the dyslexia screener, what kind of things can we do, what are we going to be responsible for, and how do we help support teachers to support those.
We already have K through 3 pretty solid, I feel like, in our district, but 4 through 12, especially our secondary level, is a whole other thing, and we feel like there's not been much direction from the state about how that's going to work or what tools to use. So that's my main.
Okay, thank you. Oh, no, that's okay.
Jason O'Dell, I'm the middle school principal for Everett Public Schools, about 3 hours north, and I'm looking to pair the information from this session with other sessions that I've been to regarding this information, as well as the secondary question.
Thank you. And I'm walking around just because I wanted the mic. I figured nobody wanted the mic in their face, so I'm just kind of...
I'm Lean Garangowski. I'm the MTSS coordinator with Wald Lake Consolidated School.
Okay.
And I'm just interested to hear how districts, like surrounding districts, are thinking about this and what it means for them.
Okay, great.
My name is Rachel, I'm the principal at the middle school, but I'm the assistant principal at the district. What we're looking for secondary 6-12, I feel like all this funding has always gone to early literacy and the training and what's, you know, required. But nothing comes to the secondary level. I'm just being honest.
Oh, right. So, and it's true. It's a reality.
I'm
yeah.
like worried, right? Like, uh-huh. If we put all this money and funding here, now we have, what's our role in this and what's our responsibilities, and are we going to get funding to provide the necessary training for our secondary staff, too?
Okay. Great.
Stephanie Bird, I'm a new specialist over on the other side of the school for charter school. Kind of the elected person to navigate this whole PA 146 ordeal and 147. I've listened to a lot of different pieces in the last couple of days, so just looking to see if we have anything else that we can shed light on. And
okay. Great.
Hi. Before I pass on to this page, I'm Jackson in the public schools. I also help with assessment and curriculum.
Okay.
So I am here just
gather information as well.
Wonderful.
Hi, sorry, I was in the wrong
Don't
side.
Worry about it. No problem.
Dawn Spears, Director of Instruction for Airport Community Schools in Monroe County, and I mean, to mirror everything everybody else has said, I've been to a couple of sessions, so I was hoping just to like with the assessment piece, we're doing a pretty good job at the elementary ones, probably middle school and high school, kind of go right back to like, how are we supporting them?
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Marnie Sullivan. I'm literacy coach at a K-8 Pittsburgh Academy, College Academy. And one of the first sessions I heard, she talked about we're building the plane as we're flying it.
Yep.
And I've noticed that every time I go to a session, I learn something new. So, too, I was looking for anything new. Plus, with the new memorandum that came out December 11th, it kind of made me decide, better come and see if there's more that I don't know.
Okay, great. There, I can do my best. It's interesting. We have a lot of secondary. If you were part of the session that Janelle Williams did with the 612 Essentials, I think that's something to really think about because there's a lot. If you've been doing the disciplinary literacy and some of the 612 and the organizational practices, you are beginning and already are on your way of setting up some of the system because that's in direct alignment. It's in alignment with research. The news with this law is it's based on what research is saying needs to be in place. So it doesn't mean we have to do a whole bunch of new things. It means we might have to think a little differently about things and we have to do things a little deeper and move forward. And if you're doing the 612, you are underway in a really good way. So today I'm going to really quickly go over an overview of the law. And feel free, I'm very informal, so feel free to ask questions as we go. Overview of the law, how is it different than the Read by Grade 3? Because it replaced Read by Grade 3, and that was its foundation. But there's quite a bit more to it, and I will show you a document that can actually show you that Read Grade 3 was maybe this long, and PA 146 is kind of like this long. It's got a lot, and it's very prescriptive, the PA 146. They have definitely, they being the legislators, expanded a prescriptive approach to say you shall do this, you must do this, and by the way, you can't do this. There's actually language in the law that says you are prohibited from doing certain things. And that's one of the few times that's ever happened. Whoops, I'm sorry. I have a timeline and responsibilities document. A couple of you said I kind of want to know what's going to happen and when. I have a couple documents that you will be able to walk out with that will actually outline this is what MDE is, and this is legislatively what their timeline is. This is an ISD timeline and what it is, and then what are LEAs expected to do and when. So you will have those documents. I have other resources, not only resources related to understanding the requirements of PA 146, but helping you maybe set some foundational pieces with your staff on what is dyslexia and what isn't it, how do kids learn, those kinds of things. So I'm going to talk a little about that with the science of reading, and then implications and some action planning. So that's kind of on the plan. So I'll start, as I mentioned, this is based on MAISA's work and their slide deck. They spent some time really unpacking the law. They worked very closely, even with some legal representatives, with MDE, with MyMTSS, to put some of these pieces together. So to get us started, the law was signed October 10th of 2024. It really looked at K-12, and it was very deliberate that this is a K-12 legislation. It also is part of a bipartisan effort, which in this climate and environment is like unheard of. It was frequently referred to as a K-12 literacy and dyslexia law. Some people call it the dyslexia law. It's really nice if you call it the literacy law with dyslexia as part of it, because it really isn't about diagnosing dyslexia, although that's kind of where everybody ran to. It is an expansion. There's a complement, the Public Act 147, that has to do with professional learning. We'll talk a little bit about that because that document came out about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. So there's a brand new document that just was rolled out. And it tied with 35M. So last spring there was a big rush to have schools do the 35M applications and get some pieces in place. And so 35M was actually created and based on some of the needs when this law was enacted. So it was enacted to improve literacy education and to strengthen our early literacy outcomes, aligning instruction with science of reading and getting away from some of the reading wars of, you know, do we do this, do we do that? So that was really behind it. And this deck is really an overview. And like I mentioned, everything is hyperlinked. And you can see we do have two different timeline pieces. I'll share and talk about them in a few minutes. A summary of a crosswalk and then the whole crosswalk, which is a very extensive document. The law really focused on early screening, the idea that we need to screen for characteristics of dyslexia, which is slightly different than the read by grade 3, and that's why some of the assessments and all of the assessments right now look a little different than what the read by grade 3 list was, because there used to be that pre-approved list for read by grade 3, which is no longer. It's all the new stuff now. Early intervention, professional development is another big key. They want teachers to understand. And that's not just elementary teachers, that's any teacher and any coach, K-12, that is either instructing reading, intervening on reading, or coaching regarding reading and literacy. So it's much more extensive than it's been in the past. And it really wants quality and evidence-based instruction and interventions, and they want you to see it as, you know, a cohesive. They want a cohesive approach and a coordinated approach. And it's not diagnosing dyslexia. Dyslexia really requires a medical diagnosis. So this is not like you're going to screen kids and say, hey, the screener indicates they got dyslexia, let's label them. That's not the intent. The purpose is students should receive instruction grounded in the science of reading research. This is not like a major shift in turn of direction. Letters training has been promoted and out there for many, many years now. There's been lots of grants and lots of promotion, bless you. We also have had the essentials. You know, we have the K-5 essentials. We have, you know, K-3, 4-5, birth to all that whole continuum of essentials. That's all based with science of reading and based on research. And they really want to ensure now with this legislation that people are paying attention and continuing to really move forward in a strategic manner. So that no matter which school system a student in Michigan is going to, they're actually getting an education aligned to the science of reading and research. They want access to high-quality materials, and they really believe that we need to have professional development for our teachers. I mean, I am K-12 certified. I did teach reading at one point at a middle school level, and I can tell you, even though I was an elementary certified teacher, and I also had an English degree, K-12, and it was English certified. I had never been taught at that time. Now I'm a lot older than most of you, but I was never taught anything about how to teach reading. So when I was a middle school reading teacher, I had to really go out and seek out different things on how do you teach middle school reading. I think with the letters and with some of the changes that they're doing, that should not be happening any longer. But I know if you were in one of the other presentations, you know, secondary is still struggling with that. Because if you look at secondary certification and the track that secondary goes through, they're through a content focus. They're not through a reading instruction focus. Even our English teachers are the same way. So I think that part of this is really thinking about what professional learning do we need to know that our teachers have so that they can help these kids when it looks like kids need some assistance. So how is it different from read by grade 3? It's a rewrite of the law, and it incorporates MTSS and the MTSS framework in that language. Now, that should also not be anything new. If you've been looking at legislation over the last few years, more and more legislation has talked about MTSS. So this is just anchoring it again. And this is anchoring it in a law that's more comprehensive than some of the other pieces that you see MTSS addressing. Tier 2 and Tier 3 outline intervention requirements are actually specified, and they are required at a secondary level. So if we know students are struggling at a secondary level, we are expected to screen those students, and then we are expected to intervene and provide support so that the students can overcome whatever area is showing that they're having a challenge. And we ensure reading instruction and materials are evidence-based and aligned with the science of reading. And so we know that whatever curriculum is being used in the school, and PA 146 does not mandate a curriculum, that's some of the misunderstanding. That's not in the legislation, that's in the state aid budget, which is another piece I'll talk a little bit about, because some things are aligning and also the alignment is creating a lot of confusion. English language learners are also highlighted in this legislation. So they are considered a very important subgroup to focus on and consider that often we don't, especially if you're in a low incident area, ELL don't often, or English learners don't often get supports that they need. And so this is very specific about the interventions that they need. And beginning in 27, 26, they also need to be screened for dyslexia and decoding as part of this process. They also indicate that the intervention team for an English learner needs to have an English certified person on that team. So if you are in a low incident district, that's one of the things as a general education leadership network that we're talking about is how do low incident districts, you know, you have one student that comes through the door or a family that comes through the door. You probably don't have an EL certified teacher. How do you address that? How are we going to work with this? And this is not quite in place yet, so we're trying to get in position for that. The screening requirements, it's mandatory. It's not voluntary, it's required. 3 times a year for K-3, and as needed for 4-12. There's also legislation that says when a student moves in, no matter what grade, you need to see that they have had some type of screening at some point in time. Diagnostic assessments are no longer referenced. So the old list with Read by Grade 3 had talked about the diagnostic assessments. They're not part of this legislation. Recognize with a balanced assessment system, you might need some of these assessments. So just because they're not on the list doesn't mean you might not need to use them. So there's nothing that prohibits you from doing certain assessments, but you also want to go back if you were part of the assessment about, you know, continuity and coherence and that you really want to make sure you're just not throwing more and more assessments at kids either. And then individual reading plans are required kindergarten through third grade, and they're saying they will be implementing them in grade 4 and beyond, but they haven't given us exactly what that's going to look like. What are the specific requirements? But they are indicating that when you have a student for grade 4 and up that ends up exhibiting traits that they needed to have a screener, and they were screened and found that they had to have a need, that they are supposed to have a structured intervention. It should be a plan based on the intervention team that's in the district and building, and it needs to be documented. So we're still waiting to find some of the details on that, but that is coming. That's a very good question. This does not refer at all to benchmark assessments, and benchmark assessments are not actually a legal requirement. They are refunding, or, you know, they'll pay for those three. And if you saw, I don't know if any of you saw the letter that just came out from our new state superintendent to the legislators, he's really promoting smarter balanced assessments. So I think more is going to come on what that system's going to look like, but that's a really good question because right now none of the benchmark assessments are on the list. So then it's like, okay, what do we do? So I think that unfortunately is yet to come. When I talk about the list, though, I will talk about the fact that that list is going to be expanded, and hopefully some of those benchmark assessment companies that we're using will be on there. Good question. And then starting in 27-28, your intermediate school district has the joy of collecting all of the IRFs and compiling them and sending them to MDE. So we don't know what that looks like yet either. So that's part of the legislation. And it has to be aggregate information. It can't be, you know, personally identifiable, but we do have to have them all turned in and collected and aggregated by a timeline. There is a coaching model. Somebody had asked about coaching. Good question. MDE has to develop and expand on a coaching model. And if you saw the governor's budget that came out Tuesday, I think it was, it actually expanded the coaching legislation and the budget part in hers to K-12. So you already are seeing in the budgeting process an increase in funds and a K-12 expansion from it used to be K-5. Originally it was K-3. About 2 years ago, it went K-5. Now it's actually K-12. So that expansion is in anticipation of this model coming out, and we know MDE is working on it, but we still have not heard any specifics. And they have really, you know, to MDE's defense, they're reacting as much as we're reacting. You know, this legislation came through, and they have very strict timelines, and you're going to see some of their timelines, and they have a lot to do in a very short time, and there's not a lot of them either. You know, so they're trying to make deadlines in the order that they are, and the coaching model was not the first deadline that they had. So they hadn't quite got to it yet. Technical assistance, there's various forms of technical assistance and professional learning that are actually called out in the legislation that MD has to do. One is dyslexia related. Another one is the idea of structured literacy, evidence-based instructional methods and curriculum, and MTSS, basically based on the science of reading. And then final, we mentioned the coaching model. So here are the timelines, because a couple of you had mentioned, I'm really wondering, what do I have to do? When do I have to do it? What's it look like? So here is a timeline that we're in right now. So you can see the law came through 10-10 of 24. And so we had to, at that point, the very first deadline was coming up with components of the dyslexia definition and getting that all clarified. On January 1st, that was their deadline here, to come up with the assessment list and the curriculum list. And so there is a list out that's on their webpage, and I'll show you how to get to their webpage in a minute. That list had to be out by legislation by 1-1. The next requirement they had, which should have been by 1-1 as well, was a professional learning information. And that just came out about a week and a half ago. So they were a little bit behind, but they weren't a lot behind on that professional learning. On 1-1 of 20, or on 27-28, that's when a district must, and the key word in the law is must and shall. A must and shall in legislation means you have no choice. A may means it's an option. I may use this. I may do that. If I shall or I must, the law says it has to happen. So by 27-28, districts must select the assessments off that list. They must have provided PD to all of their K-12 staff that teach reading, do reading intervention, or are doing reading coaching. So you have next year as a planning year. And then, you know, begin to do some of that implementation. So the timeline, and it is hyperlinked right there. The timeline is by September 1st, in order to build that statewide dyslexia expertise, they have to have the state, MDE, create a dyslexia and learning risk factor, structured learning and professional learning, and they came up with the dyslexia handbook. That was part of what they did in order to comply with that. January 1st was where we had the screener and the curriculum, and identifying the dyslexia indicators within the assessment. So when you look at it, it'll actually tell you in the assessment. You'll see little things in parentheses that give you more information about those assessments on the list. Identify indicators and recommend the coaching model, which they are not quite there yet. And this is what their page looks like. So I left the link there. Everything, if you pull this up, everything is hyperlinked. So if you click on the pictures, it'll take you to whatever the picture is. But I also wanted you to be able to see what it looks like. This is not always the easiest to find off of the MDE site if you go to MDE and try to find things. So I wanted you to have a direct link to it. And you'll see on that site, you know, they do have. They have the resources. They have the actual law. So you can pull the law up and not have to search for it. You know, they have different resources, including their dyslexia handbook. They'll have the evaluation rubrics. They have timelines. Everything is right on that site. And they are keeping that up consistently. So somebody, when we went around the room, referenced that December memo that came out, or letter. And these were what came out during that letter. The letter is meeting that 1-1 deadline. It came out December 18th or December 19th, that Thursday before our winter break, you know, because they wanted winter break too. And basically what they did is they identified two screeners for the list, and they identified three new curriculums on the list. The other curriculums on the list, the ones that are starred, had already been identified by 35M. So the way the legislation had been written, the legislation said that it needed to have certain criteria, that they were going to allocate money at the 35M, and the 35M list must be included as the approved list here. So what ended up happening is any district that was approved for 35M and moving forward with that funding knew they were already on the list because that was part of that legal requirement. Now, if you did 35J, which was the year before that, some of the 35J monies, if you, and I don't know if anybody in here was part of that, but some of that list that was approved was not on this list. So that has created some challenges for people because they're like, wait a minute, 2 years ago you gave us money to do all the PD and buy the curriculum, and now they're not on the list. We also know that this is a complete but not finished list, which is MDE's direct words, and that's because they know this is probably not where we need to land. But they had to work with what they were given under the time constraints they were given. Yes. Yes. Right now the list is K-3. Those are really good questions. The second thing I'm going to talk about is the letter is not actually a letter. It's a notification. And that's not actually part of PA 146, which is the other confusion. Because what happened is PA 146 came out. PA 146 said you do have to use a screener from the list. But it said you do not necessarily have to use a curriculum from the list. You could choose to. It's back to that may and must and shall that I was talking about when you read legislation. It was not actually required that you use a list or a curriculum off that list, but you had to use an evidence-based curriculum. What happened was the state aid was put together, and you know how that budget came through in October. And in that budget, one of the stipulations was that districts had to adopt one these off of this list, and if they did not adopt it, the curriculum in particular, they have to notify parents by the end of fiscal year 26, because again, this is a fiscal year piece. This is a state aid. The fiscal year piece by 26 is actually September 30th of 2026. And so what happened was MDE said, we're going to do the list. We're going to meet our deadline. But we know this list needs to probably be revisited and we need more time. So they actually had a committee that did the selections. And then someone from MDE notified any company that had actually applied that was denied, told them why they were denied, and gave them another opportunity. And that's what you're seeing here are these new opportunity windows. So there are new windows here where people can, or those companies can reapply and address the areas. They made a phone call to every, according to them, every single company was notified personally by MDE to say, thank you for submitting. You didn't get the list. You need to make this change. This is why you're not on the list. And if you want to make the change and you think you can comply, you can reapply. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, I mean, they really wanted to open that opportunity. They didn't want to shut the door and lock it, but they have to meet the law, letter of the law, which was by January 1. So, back to your question, it's a notification on 27K. It's a state aid piece that they're going to take a 5% penalty if the state department is notified that a school did not comply with this, there could be up to a 5% penalty. We have until September of 26 to do this. And a lot of districts are trying to jump the gun and say, I'm going to send these letters out. Number one, it doesn't need to be a letter. And GELN, this committee and this group, is actually writing language for the notification, because the notification is highly prescriptive. It needs to say, we are not using one on the MDE approved list, which is not scientifically or is not evidence-based and could harm student outcomes. And this is our plan to leave that curriculum. And so there's a lot of confusion about that. So right now, this is K-3. We're looking at K-3, figuring out our curriculums, looking at and waiting for the next windows to come in. And then once these windows come in, then we'll see what the next round is. But worst case scenario, you could do a notification and that language will be coming out and shared. If you think back to when COVID, if you were around when COVID came through, there were those COVID plans. If you came through when the benchmark legislation, there was that table that had the benchmark. That's the group I'm talking about that's looking at giving you some language to use for this. And it could be part of your notification when kids come back to school. It could be part of that notification page. So it doesn't need to be this separate correspondence that goes out right now, because you're getting ahead of the game. And I know everybody's nervous about it. And I know, you know, people are like, well, I got to send this letter out. No, you don't. You don't need to send the letter, number one. You really don't even need to notify right now. So that's what we're trying to tell people, is just wait for some things to work out. Question? Well, 27K is a requirement. So 27K is not actually, that's just an allocation in the state aid budget. 35M is not out there. There has been a request to offer another round of 35M. That was in, I believe, the state superintendent's request, but that is not right now anything in place. So right now that does not, that's not in place, and that's not the plan. I think that's a hope that people have. So we do have two up here right now. That is not Acadience. That's Dibbles 8. That's a different version. A lot of schools right now are on Acadience. So we're going to wait and see where it happens with Acadience. And then you have these over here on the right, and we'll just have to see if some of those new curriculums come in. MDE did not release who applied and was denied on purpose. And that's because they don't want a company that was denied and can actually comply and will be approved to have their name out there that they were denied, because then people will start jumping and thinking, well, they were denied. So I think we're truly in the making of the sausage, as you call it, and things are still under development. So as much as we want to hurry up and get some things done, this is a case where you kind of have to let it work its way through. This is what came out about a week and a half or so ago, the professional learning resources. It is now on that page that I just shared with you. This professional learning resource, it kind of has a nice introduction page, and then it goes through and it talks about, and you can see that I have a copy of the document here. It goes through and it says, by no later than 27-28 school year, you know, each school district, ISD, and public school academy has to assure that all literacy consultants, literacy coaches, and other personnel providing reading intervention or reading instruction K-12 is trained. And then there's specific areas of training that need to be there. Now, MDE's dyslexia handbook addresses those areas. There's also a lot of information in the professional learning resource of samples. So you'll see there's tables in it. And like I said, everything is hyperlinked for you. There's tables in here that you can go through that give you recommended resources, recommended ideas. Keyword there, recommended. So what has to be covered is legislated. How you cover it is recommended. It's not required. So you can do it in your own way. But it's going to be really important for all of you in the room that are wondering, what do I have to do? You'll want to have a plan in place next school year to figure out how you're going to move forward with some of that professional learning. And sometimes, you know, little bites at a time might be easier for people. And as I said, if you're doing the 6-12 literacy essentials and the school-wide practices, you're beginning some of that work already. Yep, question.
It mentions professional learning for those engaged in reading instruction. Does it matter what lens you're looking at reading instruction as? For example, reading, learning to read versus reading to learn. Like if you have a ninth grade ELA teacher, are they considered a person who is engaged in reading instruction?
I have not heard a concrete thing, but my tendency would be yes. That would be my tendency. Yes, that would be my tendency, yes. That's how I would lean. Yeah, and I don't believe the legislation is going to define it that way, but I think MDE will give us some more clarity. You know, I think, but my feeling is in the spirit of the law, is if you have high school English and high school teachers involved in reading areas, I would think they would need to be trained. I also know that MDE put a legislative request in a while back to require all K-5 teachers to have letters training, period, and not allow grandfathering in. That did not go through yet, but knowing how these are picking up and the momentum that's going on, I would not be surprised if you're going to see that at some point. So, you know, things are still under significant development, but my advice, especially at a secondary level, is to start thinking about framing the conversation now to be thinking about the disciplinary literacy mindset and some of just laying that basic foundation so that as you're moving forward, it's little steps for the secondary and not gigantic moves. Letters and science of reading, I don't know because I haven't had letters training if it has a dyslexia specific elements. I don't know if anybody's been letters trained in here to know that. If it follows enough of the law. Yeah. So it's a good question. Unfortunately, I couldn't answer that for sure. This one isn't in there? Oh, letters. Oh, I'm sorry. You mean in the examples? Okay. All the way through. Yeah, I know letters is based on science of reading, but I'm not sure it has enough of the dyslexia focus would be my tendency to wonder. September 1st, 2026, they had to expand their technical assistance. They also, in 27-28, are going to have to assist reporting the IRIP plans, and they're working collaboratively with people to try to figure out what's that going to look like, what might we be able to do, because if the ISDs have to collect them as well, you know, that could be a big nightmare if we don't think strategically about how to make this system built in a way that works. And then by July 31st, they need to start notifying, and they actually started this year. They used the new criteria this year to notify parents. They actually were a little bit ahead of the game. They didn't have to, but they did. So they are sending those certified letters out to parents based on, you know, the criteria listed in here. Just third grade. Yep, just third grade. Yep, with a new cut score. Because it was a different cut score than the old cut score, and they decided to arbitrarily switch the cut score, so then districts had to be prepared for more kids to get it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are correct. They did switch it. Yep.
We're sending more letters out, because we notify our families, in the summer you're going to send 5 letters.
Yeah, it's because the cut score changed. You are correct. Yeah, and there was not a lot of announcement on it. It changed. It was one of those things where I think I was sitting in a meeting and I looked up and I'm like, that's not the cut score that I have looked. And then I asked.
My struggle with it before was you could be not proficient, but you're okay for.
Right, you're not getting the letter yet. Yeah. So they aligned it. Review and update the handbook every 5 years at a minimum, and sustain high quality support and promote equity. Those are their requirements in PA 146. ISDs are really targeting for this legislation the consultants, the coaches, and any intervention personnel, because a lot of ISDs also provide some of that intervention support in the building and districts. These are training topics that have to be covered. Characteristics and risk factors of dyslexia, which is maybe part of it, but I'm not sure it gets into it deep enough in letters. Secondary consequences, instructional adjustments, the MTSS, and then the instructional methods, including dyslexia focus. And then for LEAs, which most of you are LEAs in here, June and July of 25, you could have applied for 35M. It was an optional. In 27-28, this is your first big requirement. You are going to need to make sure that all literacy consultants, coaches, and reading instruction and intervention staff are trained in those five areas. And we've been by the start of the year. Yep, before it starts. So that's why, exactly. So you'll want to have a plan for in 26-27 to plan. I probably wouldn't recommend you plan on just doing your August training in 27 to try to get everybody trained that fast. But that's, there'll be some districts that will probably wait and do that. Ideally, trying to figure out a way to do bite-sized pieces would be a helpful thing to do so that it's not so overwhelming and so you can help put some of the systems and the conversations in place.
Uh-huh. Like, I ideally would love to have people trained, but if we have coaches and we don't know that we're going to have coaches, we don't have the money. Like, how do we decide who to train besides the ELA teacher?
It's a very good question, and I think it's still being worked out. Like I said, the governor's budget changed the literacy coaching funds and increased them from K-5 to K-12. So that's in the initial budget, but of course that's a governor's version. Then you have the House and the Senate, and they all have to get along and figure out something. But yeah, different. You don't have to do a certain thing. You just need to cover it. I've been told by MDE that if you train on the dyslexia, nope. The dyslexia handbook, that covers it. So, it's not like it has to be hours and hours of intensive instruction, but it needs to be enough that that your staff has an understanding of these elements, especially the characteristics and risk factors and the secondary consequences. Secondary consequences at a secondary level are really important because those are where you can actually flag some kids that got through. Because you're seeing the secondary consequence, you're not seeing the initial because you've kind of moved past some of those activities that you might have picked up on that initial piece, but you're seeing those coping mechanisms. And I know I was in one of the sessions that had talked about PA 146, and they said, kids learn to cope. They get at a certain grade level, and they cope around it. And so that is where you'll see some of those secondary consequences that indicate students might need some help. And then, instructional adjustments, MTSS. And most districts have been doing MTSS work. So this is not like you're doing a 180. What it is you're kind of going deeper in getting, K-12 from something that maybe you were doing either K-5 or K-3, and you were doing a little bit at some of the other eight stages. You do need to have an intervention response team. My guess is you probably already do. You might not call it that, but you already have a team that's serving in a lot of that function. And if you, the big thing here, though, is if you have an English learner, they need to have an ESL certified person on their response team. And then the universal screening has to happen. It's in the first 90 days of school for all K-3 and within 90 days for transfer students. 4-12, if any reading difficulties, and then again, ELs need to be understood and screened appropriately. And then you've got your evidence-based curriculum methods, your areas that they are for foundational skills that you're looking at. And then there are certain requirements that are listed in the legislation. And then by July of, 31st, you have to submit your IRIFs. So that first 27-28 school year is the first IRIF submission. And then the teacher qualification, there's a whole thing about teacher qualifications in there that will also go into effect at that during that school year about, having to post the fact that you do not have qualified teachers, quote unquote, based on criteria. And then the continual responsibilities that you have there. So the timeline and the timeline chart. There is a timeline. It looks like this. It's a few pages. It's kind of the Cliff Notes version. It'll say what will MDE do, what will ISDs do, what will LEAs do, and it kind of just gives you it in a nutshell. That is linked in there. And then there's also a timeline chart, which I didn't print, but it goes across. And it's quite extensive. And it's color-coded by, each category. And it really unpacks the law to say when each piece of the law needs to be implemented. So both of those resources, we might have a screenshot of them, I think. Yeah, here is the timeline document I was just referencing. That's the Cliff Notes version. And I did not do the other one. The other one is quite long and across, but it's very good. So it just depends how detailed you want to be. But both of those are available for your review. And then there is a document that gives you the key terms of the legislation, because it does have a lot of terminology in there. So this is based on the terminology that was in the legislation and unpacked. So if you're reading something and you're like, I'm not really sure what they mean by that, that document is available as well. So I'm going to give you a moment to just stop and reflect. I know I've been talking a lot, or if you have any questions, you can maybe talk with your neighbor for a minute about, is there anything that surprised you? There are some tasks or timeline items that you really think you need to take, prepare for right now, and kind of where you're at. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Okay, if you can finish your conversation, maybe finish a sentence, and then do we have anybody? I'm sorry, question? Yep. Yes. Yeah, that is, if you go back to here, the question was, is there a date for when those other screeners might be out? It is right here. So this is here. So this is the January 30th was the deadline for the updated list in March. So there'll be a new list that comes out in March of this year. Then there is an April 30th date that will come out in July. And then there'll be a September date that will come out in December. So there's three more rounds for the screeners. The curriculum has two rounds. It has one that can be submitted by April 30th, and we will get an updated list July. And then another one that has a deadline of September 30th, and that will be December of 2025. So we'll still see some things developing through December of 25. Good question. And those are on the MDE website if you want to keep looking. You also have an opportunity on there to see what the criteria is. The rubric is on there that they used to evaluate the curriculum. So if you're interested in that, that's there as well.
I feel like maybe I misinterpreted that. It feels like they're going to continue to add, but they're adding a K-3. Like,
yes, and that's a good point.
With a list of assessments before 12 or number of curriculum.
I know that they're looking at 4-12 assessments because I've talked to MDE and they have told me that. I don't know if it's part of, they haven't got it down as a separate RFP. It could be a separate timeline. They did not tell me when I asked them. They said that these are K-3, that we are in the process of doing 4-12, and we have a request for bids. I don't know if the thought process is And I haven't read how the RFP or the request is, if it says it could be K-12. I know right now all the focus has been K-3, but there is an actual process underway. Yes. We could. We could get 412 at a different timeline, or they might come out in this next round because they were really trying to get it done. Go ahead. Thanks. Right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Right. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, but they are reviewing the Title II. That's the title at the law.
That's the law, yeah. Thank you.
But they understand that it doesn't end at third grade.
Uh-huh.
And they want to provide support, but they also really want to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and like I said, MDE is a small group, and they're trying to comply, and there's a lot of requirements that they had early on to come up with and figure out. So, you know, they're doing what they need to do to be in compliance and follow the law, but I know there's things in the background that they're trying to do to really provide those supports.
You know, dyslexia. And so how are districts then determining as needed? Like, so
you mean for the 412?
Yeah.
There's actually in the legislation there's some pieces that yeah. say they exhibit those characteristics.
Okay, so we should just probably kind of
you'll want to look at that. Yes. Yeah, and I'll show you because in this crosswalk here, this one this detailed crosswalk, it looks like this. So we have a short crosswalk that says what's the difference, and most of you are not elementary, so you might not be as interested in this one, which is the crosswalk of Read by Grade 3 with PA 146. But this thick document right here is that picture right there. And this document, it's many, many pages, but it actually has all the new legislation on the left. It has the old legislation on the right, and it shows you in bold what is new. And in that legislation, it will actually say these attributes are what you're going to see in a 412 student that would make you think you need to actually do a screener. It actually names it out. So this is a perfect example of a page where this is all brand new. There was nothing in the Read by Grade 3 that addressed any of the content on the left-hand side. So this document's kind of nice because it also has the language of the law. It's not an interpretation. It's literally the language of the law, so you can see, does it say shall? Does it say may? Is there a timeline? Those kinds of things sometimes for a district is really important to know because the rumors happen and people say you have to do or you need to do and maybe you don't, you know, that kind of thing. Not that you don't want to do best practice, but you kind of want to know what it really is. So that's the detail crosswalk. And so all of those are hyperlinked here. I'll go in and hyperlink that other professional learning, but you can get it off of the MDE page. Yeah, right.
Every child doesn't want to read out loud. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily a reading issue. So I do think, like, whether it's local, we're all going to have to come up with something, like, to start out. Otherwise, the screening our entire test period or whatever.
Right.
But, like, do we use other assessments to possibly identify some kids that we should screen? Because it's going to be, right? Like,
well, and I think back to right, the NWA, yeah.
Then can we look at those that are not and then look at the criteria to see that's kind of like
yeah, and I think that is a fair piece to go. The spirit of the law is basically you want to be looking at students and identifying them. In the past, I think high school kids, by the time they were up there and they struggled, there really wasn't a mindset of this kid is struggling with reading and I wish they had learned when they were in third grade, but now they're just going to have to deal with it. That's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to get where people, you know, we have some systems to help these kids as they move forward. And having taught adults to read, I mean, you can teach adults to read. I've had non-readers. That was one of my jobs, is teaching non-reading adults to read. And it's amazing their compensation. I mean, they would tell me all the little tricks they'd use as non-readers, and people would never know that this individual sitting in front of me could not read one single word coming in the door, because they know how to do it. Now, once you know their tricks, you can observe them, and I think that's part of what this law is about, is for people to really understand some of that compensation that happens when people can't read. Because you're ashamed. It's okay to say I'm not good in math. It's not okay to say I can't read. And so that whole, that comes in our system so early. This is really about trying to help them so they don't become adults like the ones I was working with that couldn't read at all. So I'm going to quickly, I want to honor our time. There's some information on the science of reading and dyslexia. That's some of what you need to do professional learning on. Here are some ideas and some resources that you can use. This is a definition of the science of reading and a definition of dyslexia. And notice it's a neurobiological issue. That is not what we can't diagnose it. That's the bottom line. This is not an intent for schools to start diagnosing dyslexia. That is a medical piece. However, it is our place to say, we're seeing that these kids are struggling and what can we provide for support? And by the way, maybe we need to have somebody else take a look to see if this is going on. What is dyslexia? You know, it talks about it being a specific learning disorder with poor spelling and decoding. I think one of the key pieces here is this, it's unexpected in relation to their cognitive abilities. In other words, the way the student is performing in lots of other ways, you wouldn't have expected them to have trouble with spelling. You wouldn't have expected them to have problem with decoding, because it doesn't fit the rest of the picture, the whole child picture. So, you know, that's when you need to stop and look at it. And there's an activity here, and in honor of time, I'm not going to probably do it, plus I'm not sure if you can read it real well. I have done this with my schools, and it's been really effective. I take these and I put these all on cards, and I actually have them decide, is this an attribute of dyslexia or not? So, you know, is it myth or fact that all students with dyslexia demonstrate the same problem with reading? Is that a myth or is that a fact? Does reading require significantly more effort and academic support for someone with dyslexia, but they can learn to read? Is that a myth or is that a fact? Intelligent people cannot have dyslexia. Dyslexia is a brain-based disorder. Dyslexia exists on a continuum. So it goes through with various statements that people can look at and kind of see where it fits. And then there is this chart in the dyslexia handbook, if you have not seen it. So what I literally did is I ran photocopies of it, took the little cards out. You have to take colors off of it, or otherwise it gives it away. And I had them put the things down, and we talked about it. And it's interesting because some people actually have things in a different order. They think of a myth as a fact, and a fact as a myth. And so this is a really good pre-activity that you can use. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take much money or prep. But it's a way to get people, your staff, to be thinking a little differently about dyslexia and the label and what it really is. It also talks about it being, you know, that it is a brain-based piece. And so this is an activity. You know, I mentioned that you'll walk away with some possible activities. This is one where you create cards for each box. They work with a couple people to sort it, and then you just share it and discuss it. Quick way to learn about what is dyslexia. Now you can check off one of those PD things you have to have before the start of 27-28, the understanding of dyslexia.
You were talking about, because we are talking about, we are thinking about possibly making all our secondary staff do this. Like, we were talking about the most activities.
Right.
For them to understand, too, when they see things, because if a kid knows how to cope or play the game, the ELA class, but in social studies, I'm seeing something. Like,
right. And I would agree. My feeling is, and that's what I've told my schools, and that's I've done it with all of the students that I've been working with, this is good for everybody to have. Because even, you know, as a parent, it's good for you to have that understanding. If you're a parent, which many of us are parents and grandparents at times, it's a very quick, easy activity. It's non-threatening. And it does open the door to having a deeper understanding of what it is and what it isn't. And then this slide is a good one, and this comes right out of, you know, the dyslexia handbook, that it's not, you know, uniform reading challenges. It's not letter and word reversals that people think, especially, you know, they think it's lowercase, but all along, that's not what you're looking for necessarily. It isn't anything visual, which is another misunderstanding. It is not more common among boys or than girls. It's not curable. It's a way of thinking. But it also is not untreatable. You know, so having this conversation with just a couple of these slides, you know, feel free to take them and use them. That helps. It gets into the misconception. The other one is reading is not acquired naturally like speech. I think it's really important even for our secondary to understand that. And then it's not memorizing sight words, and it's not drill and kill. And so there's a whole set here about, you know, what are the characteristics in K-3 of dyslexia? And they're very different in 4-12. And that's where I think your secondary, you know, would benefit from seeing some of the fact that there are some attributes that are unique once you're out of K-3 that you can identify. And, you know, there's, I'm not going to go through all of this just due to time, but I wanted you to have access to, as a resource. There's a good video here.
Hello, everyone, and
about, you know,
our
advancing the science of reading in the early years. There's actually three videos here about how the brain learns how to read and how it has to create a new pathway. Most people do not realize that when we are born, we do not have the connectivity in our brain. It's an actual new pathway you develop for reading. And there's some videos here that help explain that really well. And then it talks about, you know, code emphasis instruction and MTSS. Those are very instrumental in the PA-146. I went through school when we never taught phonics. I was in that whole continuum where nothing was ever taught in coding and wording. And then when I became a reading teacher of non-reading adults that I just mentioned, I had to have full training on, you know, what is a CVC and what are all the patterns of words and multisyllable words. And when I learned it all, I'm like, now why didn't somebody show me this a long time ago? I mean, I was a really strong reader, but it really would have been nice to know this, you know. So it's kind of nice that they're doing some of those pieces now. They cannot include, I mentioned this is one of the unique things about this legislation, it actually tells you what you are prohibited from doing. And I think it's important for our secondary to know that as well. You know, we cannot be encouraging kids to, you know, identify the first sound and take the guesses and using those predictable texts, skipping over unknown words to try to figure it out, guessing. All of those kinds of things are all prohibited. And some of those have been past practices that we've done for a number of different years. And then it talks about, you know, the reading brain is not pre-wired. I mentioned that. It's not a single purpose. So these resources are here, the Science of Reading Defining Guides there, the Dyslexia Handbook, and then the links to those videos if you decide you wanted to use any of those. And so here, you know, students are going to benefit from that universal screening, the IRIPs, having those tailored interventions, and the idea that in the IRIP you're supposed to indicate we're having this intervention because this is what we saw as an area that needed support. It's not just this generic, we're going to do general tutoring now, or we're going to throw them into this general class. Educators will be able to screen and implement the science of reading instruction. They will get professional development, and administrators are actually getting promoted to really move into the MTSS framework. Recognizing MTSS framework is not intervention only. You know, MTSS is actually struggling to advance because we really need to be able to provide support at all the different levels in a true MTSS system, which is different than RTI because response to intervention is really looking at an intervention-based system. RTI is a piece of MTSS, but MTSS is much broader. And so there's a self-reflection checklist also that you can use, and some questions for reflection and conversation. So there's another template here that you can use to kind of see where do we feel our district is at. Maybe take it back and have your coaches or your administrators go through that self-assessment to kind of get a feel for where they think they are. And then there's an action planning tool that's available for you as well. So I know we're getting to the end of a very long day and a wonderful conference. It had a lot of different content. So what might you want to, you know, thinking about this, I guess my question is, what questions might you have? And do you want to have an opportunity to talk amongst yourselves? Do you guys have questions in general? How would you like to proceed at this point? Anybody have questions, comments, or thoughts? Find the answer? Well, that was my goal, was to give you a place to find the answer. Good. Thank you for that feedback.
Hearing that I'm not alone. Like, hearing that everyone is also feeling the same about secondary. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah, and I think it is important to know. I mean, this is a K-12 law. We don't know yet. I think the other important piece is go slow to go fast and really give it time to work its way out. And you know, MTE really wants us to do this right, too. I mean, they're vested and they want to do it right. There's not a lot of them. They have only limited manpower like we have limited manpower. So we just have to stay the course with them and give them feedback and work with them as we go forward. And we will continue, as you know, the MESA group that I mentioned, this is a general education, the early childhood, and the special education. We will be continuing to coordinate as well as we can to provide resources. We're an ISD group that then rolls out by ISD, you know, through your ISD. So hopefully you'll have more resources coming. So we also wanted you just to be aware that we know it's there, like the notification piece that we talked about. We are planning to give you some language that you can use for notification. And then that. Right. That's great. Thank you for saying that, because we do. We want to do what's best for kids. And just because it's not on the list, and the PA 146 never said that if it wasn't on the list, it wasn't good. That was a state aid budget statement for 27K. That notification didn't even come out of this legislation. It's just based on this legislation, which creates some more confusion as well. But we'll, you know, we'll figure a way to do our best to honor what we have to do with the law for the state aid budget, but we're also going to do what's best for kids. And that's really what we're trying to look at, is what's best for kids. And let's not jerk everybody around by jumping here and jumping there and just stay our course, and we've got time. Doesn't seem like we have a lot of time, but we do have some time. So this is the MAISA site. I have the direct link there as well, where you can get links to resources, and there'll be more resources that come that will be put on that site, like that notification. So if for some reason you don't get it through an ISD meeting or something, you know, check back here, because we will be posting those resources here as well. And these are the people that just worked on the team. And with that, I am done. So, you know, I'm here for any questions.